College English Test, Band 6, Part 2, Listening Comprehension. Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear two long conversations. At the end of each conversation, you will hear four questions. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center. Conversation 1.
You're going to give a short speech of thanks for the speaker this evening, aren't you, Bill?
Yes.
You don't sound very enthusiastic. It's not that bad, is it?
No, I don't mind really. But I can never forget the first speech of thanks I did.
Why? What happened?
Well, I was in my early 20s. I joined the local history society.
Yes.
Anyway, I went along to a lecture by a Miss Bly.
Oh, do go on.
She was going to talk, with slides, about our town in the 18th century. She had just published a book on the subject, which was reckoned to be quite good. So, I went along. When I arrived, the secretary asked me if I could give the speech of thanks. Rather stupidly, I said yes.
We've all done it.
Anyway, from that point on, I was scared. What should I say? I decided to make notes during the lecture and refer to interesting parts and thank her on behalf of the society. In fact, by the time Miss Bly stood up to talk, I was feeling much better. But she was so nervous that she kept forgetting what to say. And she spoke almost in a whisper. People at the back kept calling out, "We can't hear." It was embarrassing.
I can imagine it.
At least the slides were good. That is, until the bulb in the projector blew, and she had to finish the talk with no illustrations.
So what did you say in your speech of thanks?
What can you say? You have to be polite. I mentioned the interesting facts, referred to the excellent slides, and then finished up by saying, "We'd all like to thank Miss Bly for blowing us her slides."
Oh, no.
I felt terrible. I tried to apologize, not very successfully.
And the speech of thanks this evening?
I'll write down exactly what I'm going to say and read it carefully.
Questions 1 to 4 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 1. What is the man asked to do this evening? Question 2. What do we learn about the man? Question 3. What does the man say about Miss Bly? Question 4. What does the man say about the first time he gave a speech of thanks?
Conversation 2.
Another cup of tea, Paul?
No, thanks. Well, what's new, Laurie?
Nothing dramatic, but there's something you should know about.
What's that?
Well, our rivals are offering extended credit terms to some of the retailers in the area.
Oh? Which rival's this? We only have two.
Barrett's Company.
Oh, them. Well, they're hardly a threat.
I know they're smaller than us, but we can't afford to ignore them.
Yes, you're right, Laurie. But I don't like extended credit. It ties up cash we could put to better use elsewhere. But I'll look into it on Monday.
Yes, and there's something else.
Don't tell me. The letter from the tax revenue office?
Right. How did you know?
Tara told me. What's the problem?
Well, Tom got this letter late yesterday and then went frantic trying to find copies of last year's accounts.
Did he find them?
No, and he was away before I could get hold of the letter.
How about a drive down to the office now? And we'll see if everything's all right. There's another reason why I wanted to chat with you before Monday.
I thought as much. Well, go on, surprise me.
How about selling that new motorcycle of yours in Indonesia?
What? You mean export? Paul, I think you've been away too long. This is Jail Motors. We've never sold a bike abroad.
Don't worry, Lori. I'm not crazy. I've been studying the possibility, and I think we should give it a go.
It's not as easy as that, though, is it? We'd have to reorganize the whole company.
Don't be silly. I don't intend starting next week. We'll have to plan it properly. And of course, there'll be a few problems.
A few problems? I can see hundreds. For one thing, transport. I have enough trouble delivering bikes to shops only 40 miles away, never mind 5,000 miles.
That's what forwarding agents are for.
Questions 5 to 8 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 5. What does the woman think the man should know? Question 6. What does the woman think of Barrett's company? Question 7. What did the woman say about the letter from the tax revenue office? Question 8. What is the man thinking of doing? Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear two passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear three or four questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre.
Passage 1. A report on sleep and nutrition released this month found that people who consistently went to bed earlier than 11 p.m. took in fewer calories and ate more healthy food. In contrast, night owls who go to bed between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. tend to consume more coffee, alcohol, refined sugars, and processed meats than early risers. This report corresponds with the existing scientific literature on bedtime and wellness. The relationship between getting more sleep and making better food choices is well documented. A study published last year in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that people who sleep more tend to eat less unhealthy food than their peers who don't get as much rest. And a 2015 study from the University of California, Berkeley, found that teens who go to bed late are more likely to gain weight over a 5-year period. As a group, night owl types tend to eat less healthy food and take in more calories overall than early risers. The later one goes to bed, the more calories one records the next day. It is yet a challenge to explain the cause and effect relationship between sleep and nutrition. There may be a third factor that impacts both of them. Or the relationship could be reversed. That is, people who eat less fall asleep earlier. Still, if late sleepers want to lose a few pounds, they can go to bed earlier than they usually do, thereby reducing their chances of taking snacks before bedtime.
Questions 9 to 11 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 9. What do we learn about the report released this month? Question 10. What does the study from the University of California, Berkeley find about teens who go to bed late? Question 11. What should night owls do to reduce their consumption of unhealthy food? Passage 2. Researchers have found not just a diversity problem in Hollywood, but actually an inclusion crisis. With less than a week before an Oscars ceremony that has already been criticised for an all-white list of acting nominees, a study shows the film industry does worse than television. Just 3.4% of film directors were female, and only 7% of films had a cast whose balance of race and ethnicity reflected the country's diversity. When researchers looked at all TV shows, they also found that women of colour over 40 were regarded as largely invisible, and just 22% of TV series creators were female. Overall, the study found half the films and TV shows had no Asian-speaking characters, and more than one-fifth of them had no black characters with dialogue. The film industry still functions as a straight, white boys' club. When looking at how women are depicted, the study found female characters were 4 times more likely to be shown in sexy clothing and nearly 4 times as likely to be referred to as physically attractive. But their results also indicated films and TV shows with women or people of colour in the important jobs behind the scenes, director, producer or writer, tended to have better diversity numbers. Across TV and film, the underrepresentation of non-white characters falls mostly on Hispanics. Among more than 10,000 characters, proportions of white, black and Asian characters came close to US population figures. But Hispanics were just 5.8% of characters, despite being about 17% of the US population.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 12. Why has the Oscars ceremony been criticized? Question 13. What do we learn from the research? Question 14. Who are regarded as largely invisible on TV shows? Question 15. What does the speaker say about Hispanics?
Section C, Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 recordings of lectures or talks, followed by 3 or 4 questions. The recordings will be played only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the 4 choices, marked A, B, C and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre.
Recording 1. When purchasing life insurance, there are many important factors to consider. One should buy the policies that give the most protection at the least cost, ensure the right family members, and consider the family's financial needs. It is important to buy the insurance from companies that are financially sound and that are represented by honest, well-trained agents. At various stages in a person's life, different kinds of life insurance are needed for particular situations. Jerry is single and has no dependents. Probably the only life insurance he needs is enough to cover his debts and burial expenses. Insurance can be purchased at a lower rate during the young years, but by buying while young, the premiums are paid in for a longer period of time. In the end, the amount paid for premiums is about the same. A person shouldn't buy insurance protection that really isn't necessary. Suppose that Jerry marries Jeanette, who is a college graduate and is working. Perhaps enough insurance would be needed to cover their debts and burial expenses. Now, Jeanette has quit work, and their first child is on the way. They have purchased a home with a small down payment and a 30-year mortgage. The situation regarding life insurance takes on a different look. There are dependents who need financial protection. How much insurance is needed? As the family increases in size, it is essential to add more insurance on the breadwinner to protect the dependents. When the children are young and depend upon the family for financial needs, families with modest incomes have difficulty providing enough life insurance to protect the mother and the children. Families with modest incomes should insure the breadwinner or breadwinners first. When considering the amount of insurance for the mother with dependent children, substitute child care is a need that should be planned for until the children can care for themselves. The death of a small child would have no effect upon the income of the family. Perhaps a policy to meet funeral expenses would be sufficient for the young child, although most people do not take out insurance on their young children. As the children become financially independent of the family, the emphasis on family financial security will shift from protection to saving for the retirement years. Every family situation is different, but it is important that each family give adequate thought to planning its financial future.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the recording you have just heard. Question 16. What life insurance should a single person buy according to the speaker? Question 17. What should people do as their family increases in size? Question 18. When should one change their life insurance? Recording 2. Stereotype may sound like a bad word, but there's nothing bad about it. For one thing, stereotypes are often accurate. When you ask people about their concept of stereotypes, they get it pretty much right. Also, stereotypes are often positive, particularly of groups that we ourselves belong to. Some of the statistical generalizations may be positive, as some groups have reputations for being smart, for being loyal, for being brave, for all sorts of things that are not at all negative. And so there's nothing inherently wrong about stereotypes. But there are problems with stereotypes. For one thing, they are reliable insofar as they're based on unbiased samples. But a lot of the information we get about human groups is through biased sources, like how they're represented in the media. And if these sources don't give you an accurate depiction, your stereotype won't be accurate. For example, many Jews have been troubled by Shakespeare's depiction of Shylock. If the only Jew you know is Shakespeare's Shylock, it's going to be a very bad impression. So, one problem with stereotypes is while we're good at drawing conclusions from them, often our information isn't reliable. A second problem is that stereotypes, regardless of whether or not they're accurate, can have a negative effect on the people that they apply to. And this is what psychologist Claude Steele described as stereotype threat. He has a vivid example of this. Here's how to make African Americans do worse on a math test. You have the test and you put on the test that they have to identify their race. The very act of acknowledging that they're African American when given a test ignites in them thoughts of their own stereotype, which is negative regarding academics, and that makes them do worse. Want to know how to make a woman do worse on a math test? Same thing. Get her to write down her sex. One recent study found a sort of clever twist on this. When Asian American women are given a test and they're asked to mark down their race, they do better than they would otherwise do. They're reminded of a positive stereotype that boosts their morale. You ask them, on the other hand, to mark down their sex, they do worse because they are reminded of a negative stereotype. That's an example of how stereotypes have a potentially damaging effect on people.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the recording you have just heard. Question 19. What does the speaker say about stereotypes? Question 20. What leads to the bias of stereotypes? Question 21. What does the speaker say is a problem with stereotypes? Question 22. What did one recent study find about stereotypes? Recording 3. Sometimes, when you take a common drug, you may have a side effect. That is, the drug may cause some effect other than its intended one. When these side effects occur, they are called adverse reactions. Whenever you have an adverse reaction, you should stop taking the drug right away. Ask your pharmacist whether he can suggest a drug that will relieve the symptoms, but that will not cause the adverse reaction. If an adverse reaction to a drug is serious, consult your doctor for advice at once. Drugs that are safe in the dosage stated on the label may be very dangerous in large doses. For example, aspirin is seldom thought of as dangerous, but there are many reports of accidental poisoning of young children who take too many aspirin pills, as well as the possible development of Reye's syndrome in children with the flu. In adults, excessive use of some pain-killing drugs may cause severe kidney damage. Some drugs for relief of stomach upsets, when taken in excess, can perhaps cause serious digestive problems. You should never use any over-the-counter drug on a regular, continued basis, or in large quantities, except on your doctor's advice. You could be suffering from a serious illness that needs a doctor's care. Each drug you take not only acts on the body, but may also alter the effect of any other drug you are taking. Sometimes this can cause dangerous or even fatal reactions. For example, aspirin increases the blood-thinning effects of drugs given to patients with heart disease. Therefore, a patient who has been taking such a drug may risk bleeding if he or she uses aspirin for a headache. Before using several drugs together, you should ask your doctor and follow his advice. Your pharmacist can tell you whether certain drugs can safely be taken together. Alcohol may increase the effect of a drug. Sleeping pills combine with alcohol to produce a sleepy feeling. When taking any drug, you should ask your doctor whether drinking alcohol could be dangerous in combination with the medicine. Experts believe there is a relationship between adult abuse of legitimate medicines and the drug culture that has swept our country. You can do your share to reduce the chances that your children will become part of the drug culture by treating all medicines with respect. Always let your children know that medicines and drugs should not be used carelessly.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the recording you have just heard. Question 23. What does the speaker say you should do when you have an adverse reaction? Question 24. What does the speaker say about alcohol drinking? Question 25. What does the speaker call on parents to do at the end of the talk?
This is the end of listening comprehension.